Praise the Lord. It's a good day. Today's Mother's Day. So I'm gonna get into it. We've been doing a series, and I've been having a lot of fun, having a blast in the Lord doing this. And there's still people here. I'm very impressed with you guys pushing through some of these things. And I promise today there's only going to be one little snippet that's going to get a little gritty. I'll try to warn you when it comes. So if you got to use the restroom or something, you can. Yeah, but today's going to be a enjoyable day. It's going to be a fun day, a happy day. In fact, I want to start with a question bouncing off this, because I'm talking about like debunking Christian ideas, maybe that aren't really Christian, and thoughts or worldviews that maybe we have allowed to creep into us as a Christian, as a church, or maybe as believers that maybe aren't really biblical. So I know I use the term, as Brian said, that, you know, PC, being politically correct. And of course, we aim to be not PC, right? Because, you know, we're not of the world, but yet sent into the world. So we don't want to be like everybody else, right? We want to be salt and light. So what would that inspire us to be? Amen. I was thinking of that as Brian said that. Well, then I want to be BC. Which is biblically correct. Amen? That just came to me. It came to you at the same time? Sweet. I just thought of that. Like, that's a pretty cool thing to think of. I thank you, Lord. Great minds. I don't know if I'd go that far. Whew.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Equal minds, maybe, but that's not. But not. But hey, if we're BC, then I think that we are great. I do have great minds, so. I'm going to ask a question, and I get really excited about this. I'm going to get right into it because I do have a couple pages of notes that I want to get to, and it's some really good information, good material, but I believe it's spiritual, that it's going to bless us to be free us to have proper perspective, even in stuff that we deal with every day. Because I think this is one question, one issue that every single one of us deal with on an every single day basis, whether it's an emotion or not. But there is a question that I believe that, and it's a desire of every mother for their children that I want to bounce off, and this go from there. It's I believe I've either heard every mom say this, or every mom has either thought this or said this at one given point in their life, or as they're raising their kids, or as their kids are getting older. This is something that they say. And it's one phrase. I just want my kids to be happy. You guys got it right, right? That's exactly it. I mean, isn't that, if we look at that, isn't that something that you have either is thought as a parent, or even maybe even heard your mom say it to you? I just want you to be happy, right? Hello? You guys with me for a second? Okay, I promise. So I won't be that long, because I know we got lunch plans and stuff. But let's get on board with this. So, wouldn't you all agree, and I'm going to ask this question, that desire that we have for our children, especially moms, comes from God? I'm going to use some of this teaching today is just going to, I'm going to deduce the facts to come up with the truth. You guys understand that? You guys know what I mean by saying that? No. We're going to put two and two together to get four.
Perfect.
Okay. So, in other words, is that desire for a parent, a mom especially, and I think that there's this, because there's this, you know, moms, they are the epitome of love. Because here's the thing is, love really is that thing that we do for somebody without getting or expecting anything in return. That's what love really is, right? And you think about it. A mom they're the ones who bring a child into this world, give birth to them, you know, and there's so much joy in giving birth and raising a baby and bringing a child, and they feed them and they clothe them and they change them and they do all the things, they nurture and care for them. And the child, they don't ever do it out of expecting any. They just do it because we love our children, right? I mean, really. And moms, you don't ever get off the hook. you know, dads get to go off to work and stuff and do some other things and maybe even leave the family and blah, 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 whatever. I know that, you know, so there's things that dads get to do that moms don't get to do. I mean, maybe I'm saying stuff that is rubs a little bit. It's really true across the board. Moms are loving. And so there's this desire, I believe, if there's a desire that is there that I just want my kids to be happy, can we not deduce that that's a good desire, maybe even a godly desire, that it could very well possibly be that God put that in a mom, that they want their kids to be happy? So therefore, we can deduce that God wants us to be happy? Maybe that's a question to ask. Does God want you to be happy? Does God want you to be happy? Okay, that wasn't very convincing. I've asked a few people that question this week throughout my day, and you know, it seems like some of the youth, they answered a little more. I just say more honestly. And they say, "Well, yeah, absolutely, man. God wants me to be happy." And I said, "Well, then, what makes you happy?" Well, man, pizza and, you know, video games, and, you know, they started going off on all these things that make them happy, and they were honest about it. And then, of course, one of them pipes in because I'm, you know, Pastor Eric. Jesus, he makes me happy, right? So they, you know, I don't know if they would have said that to anybody else. So, but so here's the statement that I'd like us to a little bit debunk is, and this is one that I'm more than likely have said. So follow along with me on this, is God is more interested in our obedience than he is in our happiness. Oh, wow, I got a hearty amen out of that one, huh? Well, man, we bought into that one pretty easily, quickly, haven't we? What does that really mean? Oh, okay, so I want to get into that. I want us to make a really clear distinction between joy and happiness. First, I think we got to go there, because I think that's one that I've made in the past, even from the pulpit here and from different, you know, happiness is where, you know, all of our circumstances and all of our things that are going in life are, everything's falling into place and everybody around us is getting along, and so therefore I'm happy. So in other words, my happiness is usually based on everything going my way. Whereas joy is this thing that we just muscle through as Christians, that no matter what, man, it's like, oh, I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to, even when everything's falling apart, my bills aren't paid, my wife's leaving me, stuff's happening, the world's falling apart, everything's going this way and that, and everything's upside down and twisted and tormented, man, and I just can't seem to get out of bed with any energy in the morning. Oh, but I'm full of joy, right? So joy is that choice that I make because God said to be full of joy, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, right? So it's that thing I got to muscle through. Hello, I mean, here's what I'd like us to just, let's just break this down, okay? Let's just get into this and have a good time. I mean, could it be possible that when God commands us to be joyful and to rejoice in the Lord, you think it would hurt to put a smile on our face while we do it? Or maybe actually, is there a possibility that there's happiness in feeling joyful? I think that I want us to use this the Greek word for happy. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's biblical. There's a biblical Greek word for happy. I'm going to try to pronounce it. I actually had to print it out from Strong's because I could not pronounce it without it. It says it's Makarios, which is pronounced Makarios or Makarios, Makarios. Right? Devin? Devin's a second year Greek student. Oh. He's ding ding ding. I think he's like, okay, Dad, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But let me give you what it means and then we'll talk about it a little more. Makarios simply means this: happy or blessed. Happy or blessed. Or to be envied. Happy, blessed, to be envied. David, who uses the amplified version of the Bible, whenever you see, like, even let's go with the Beatitudes, which is the Beatitudes, which are the blessed be, the happy attitudes, I call them, you know, the Beatitudes, the attitudes we're to have. It says, blessed, happy, to be envied. So they work together, this blessed, this being blessed, this being happy, to be envied. What does that mean to be envied? That's not an evil thing to be envied. It's to where there's something in you, there's something that I see in you and about you that I want, right? So as Christians, what he's commanding us, ordering us to do, to be in our world, to be of the world, sent into the world, not of the world, sent into the world, is to have something that others want. Hello? So there is this command and a call on our lives to be happy, to be happy. In fact, he even goes, he says this, he extends the definition to mean this, the word make, which is makarios. The word make is a Greek word that means to extend, where God is extending his benefits and his advantages to us. So in other words, he's saying, I am blessing you. I'm extending myself to you through you. So that's what you are to look like, is an extension of me. Hello? I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, then, that what God is calling us to do, he's describing us that to be a believer, that is to be enviable. In other words, we're in a position, we're fortunate, we're blessed to be receiving God's provisions, his grace, his favor, and to where we are happy with it. And then in that happiness, there is an obedience to the things of the Lord. So yes, we can say that statement is 100% true, where I said that God is more interested in our obedience than in our happiness. See, here's the thing is, in our obedience, we find true happiness. Amen? So yes, so I guess it comes down to, I'll warn you when it gets to the gritty part. I'm not there yet. Not there yet. Do you guys remember, it's one that's not very easily talked about, much talked about. It's in 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon, when he was building his kingdom under his dad, King David's provisions, basically, and God's wisdom, was building his kingdom in such a magnificent manner that people were drawn to him from all over the place. And this little account that we have in 1 Kings chapter 10, where the Queen of Sheba visits King Solomon. She comes to it, in fact, I kind of got to read the whole part because it's really, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, with much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more. In fact, the word is the word in the New King James is spirit, but the word is actually breath in her. There was no more breath in her. Her breath was taken away. She was in awe of how awesome Solomon's kingdom was. And then verse 6, and then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told to me. See, what she had heard about was this great king who had built this fantastic kingdom, this magnificent kingdom, and built this wonderful temple. All these things, the palace and everything that he had built was absolutely amazing. But what she was not told was the perspective, the attitude of her, of King Solomon's subjects. That's what she saw that she said just blew my mind. Listen to this, and she says this in verse, your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. And this is what I want us to hear in verse 8. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. And then she says this, blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you. Do you guys hear what is saying, being said there? The Queen of Sheba is saying, because I see something in you, and not just in you, Solomon, but in all of your people, a joy, a happiness, a purpose, a love, the willingness to just subject themselves to the servitude of the king happily, was something that she had never witnessed before, ever. And she said, wow, God is blessed. God is awesome. And I see that this God that you serve is a mighty God. Do you see how she was drawn to God because of the happiness of the people? Hello? So in essence, we can say that our happiness that God calls us to be is that which is going to lure people in, is going to draw people to Jesus, is going to draw people to our loving Heavenly Father. We sing about it. He's a good God. Let's act like it all week. And then we can sing about it and mean it on Sunday. Hello? I think it happens. It happens. I hear it. I see it. I feel it. Do you guys sense it sometimes in here on a Sunday morning? The Spirit of God that is... That Spirit of God doesn't come because all of a sudden we set everything upright and all that's tuned right and they sound right and no, the Spirit of God comes because we invite Him here, and all week people are drawn into Him, and then there's this preparation of saying, we want you, God, and we love you, God, and we need you, God. God says He answers that call and He shows up. Hello? I mean, I think everything needs to be tuned and all those things need to be right. Absolutely. But that doesn't bring the Spirit of God here. That sense isn't the beating of Stephen's drum. That isn't getting you emotional. That's not an emotion from the drum. Hello? No, really. You guys understand that, right? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure that we get it. That's God the Holy Spirit. Oh, and He's here today. In fact, I'm going to just break from this for a second and just say it because the Lord said to say it. Is taste and see that I am good. Taste and see that I am good. Come all to me who are thirsty, and I will give you the water of life. And you can sit at my table and feast at my banquet. And your soul will be fed. Taste of me, for I am good. Amen?
Amen.
That was good. That was God. Amen. I'm going to do Psalm 16:11 and Psalm 37:4. Let's go there quick. Just to emphasize and what the Lord is speaking in this. Psalm 16:11, He says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. This is what a Christian looks like. This is what a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ, looks like. One who seeks the Lord, walks in the path of life, invites the presence of God's joy into my life, and actually enjoys God's pleasures forevermore. And then he says again, Psalm 37:4, jump over there really fast. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So here's what I want us to, again, we're going to use some deduction here. Joy, happiness, pleasure in the Lord are actually a great opportunity for us to be salt and light. Let's go to the Beatitudes really fast. I know I referred to them, but I want to jump there really quick because in understanding what that means. Remember, the word, the same word for blessed is the same word for happy. Makarios kind of sounds like Macarino. Macarios. Does not sound like that. Never mind. I don't know if that, yeah. Let's go with this. The Bible. BC. BC. Jesus, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, starts out with this blessed, happy, to be envied. Are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy, to be envied, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy, are the to be envied, are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, happy, to be envied, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, happy, to be envied, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the happy and to be envied are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, happy, to be envied are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then blessed, happy, and to be envied are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That sounds like happiness to me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they also persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then he goes on this little discourse here, if you will. He talks about being salt and light. Do you realize that Jesus is the perfect preacher? In other words, he preaches the perfect message every time. Whatever he speaks is true and right and is in order and is right to the heart. So he lines this up and he says, these are the Beatitudes. And then here's what it looks like, friends. It's the opportunity for you to be salt and light. Do you hear what he's saying? If you have the grace of and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, to where you know that he has saved you, and he has snatched you from darkness into light, and he has pulled you from the snares of the devil, that ought to make us happy. Amen. That ought to make us happy and full of joy. And then he says, don't put a lid on it. Go share it. Live in that happiness. Express it. Walk around. Put a smile on your face. Hello? It doesn't hurt that bad to smile. It really doesn't. I promise me. I know sometimes some of you, it really looks like it does, but it doesn't. Try it. It really doesn't. See, you're laughing. It feels good to laugh. And laughter is medicine. It does feel good to laugh. Man, it feels really good to laugh. I believe that God has perfectly given us the emotion of happiness for this one thing. And this is where it gets gritty. I'm going to get gritty, okay? I warned you. So if you need to do something, go ahead. The emotion of happiness is a crucial indicator of where our heart's desires are. Let's break that down for just a minute. Think about it for a second. This is a cute little phrase. Now I'm going to get cute. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. That was cute, huh? You like that? Listen. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Jesus said it like this. In Matthew 6:21, which if you're already in the Beatitude, you just turn like two pages over. 6:21, he says it like this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's break this down for a second. Just as our happiness and our pleasure and our joy in God is the measure of how much we treasure Him, listen to this. Our happiness and our pleasures and our joys in anything that is not of God, such as sinful things, is a measure of what you treasure in the things in your heart that are not of God. You guys understand that? In other words, what are you getting excited and happy about? What are the things in your life that you can honestly look at and say, that makes me happy? If it's level 29 on a video game, then maybe you ought to check your heart. Or 99 or whatever it is, or I don't know, they don't even have numbers now, so I don't know. What is it level? Oh, I just roused up over there. Look at that. They're like, oh man, what's he talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's like level 29. Psh, that's easy. Yeah. If it's a lustful relationship that you're desiring, look at the treasure of your heart. That's what he's saying. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Where your treasure is where your heart is. Do you guys understand that? Are we getting that? Because that's key to understand. And it's, you know, I guess you could even...
A bonus check.
Yeah, what gets, yeah.
That's when I walk away.
That's when you get happy is when I get, man, I get. Well, you know, as he said that, I was just thinking of how many times on a weekly basis, somebody will, as I'm doing a pickup, well, and Stephen's experience as he goes with me, even my own kids, if they gone with me on pickups, and some generous person out of nowhere will hand me a $20 bill or hand me an envelope and just say, here, I just want to bless you with this. Go have lunch, right? You guys seen it? Yeah, Stephen, right, Devin? You guys have all been there and done that when that's happened, and it happens quite frequently. And I got to measure my heart in that and say, wow, that was the reason I did it. I'm going out there doing it all the time and every day and every week, you know, and going to these homes, being kind and going the extra mile and helping people that need help, you know, to move furniture around because they can't do it, you know, and I'm doing it maybe they'll give me a good tip. No, I don't. And so that's what I'm saying is measure the pleasure of my heart is that I love to serve. I love people. I love to be able to, I love the opportunities that God places in front of me to help somebody, to reach out, to go that extra mile, to give a little extra. And sometimes it's a challenge because sometimes I don't have the time and God puts me in a place where I've got to stop. And Eric's schedule has got to get laid aside, and this person's needs have got to be front and center. And that needs to be a treasure of my heart. Hello? Are you guys following with me on that? Can any of you relate to anything like that in your life, in your day, in your week? I hope so, because that's real stuff. That's real stuff. It's real stuff I deal with as a pastor, as somebody that's going out there doing stuff every day. For the things of the Lord, I got to do it with the right treasure in my heart as an opportunity and doing it with joy. Man, I mean, it is really a great joy when we serve just for the sake of serving because we love people. Don't do it because you might be thinking you're going to get something in return. But the reward is the pleasure in serving. There is a reward in that. Hello? So I don't want us to disregard that. So basically, what I want us to say is this emotion of happiness, allow it to be a whistleblower of your heart. Follow me on this. If something sinful gives you pleasure, it's not a pleasure problem, it's a treasure problem. Hello? Your pleasure mechanism is more likely, it's functioning just fine as God designed it to. Follow me on this because it gets deep for a second. Like I said, this is the gritty part. So if you need to leave, I understand. It's okay. Basically, pleasure is outing your heart. It's revealing that despite of what your mouth says, or the image that you're trying to project, something sinful lies still in your heart. That requires an honesty with God and an intimate relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, to allow Him and give Him that permission that allowance to probe those places that we want to. Because when we try to project an image to others, we have a tendency to try to project that image to God. And God just doesn't buy it. He doesn't buy it. In fact, so I want us to allow that. Allow this, the pleasure of sinful joys to blow the whistle on the heart's treasure in your own life. Because that's what the sin, that's what the root of sin is, isn't it? Treasuring evil. All the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way through and through history to very this morning. Treasuring evil. So really, it makes this fight of faith in our Christian life and our discipleship life a fight for delight. Huh. Think about it. Think about how simple that is. It's a fight to believe God's promises of happiness over the false promises of happiness that we hear from the world. In other words, you got to get this, get that, have that, be with this person, drive that, live here, live there. Even, you know, go to a church that's got it all together. Right? We live in a fallen world, and there's a devil in it, and our flesh gets in the way so much of the time. So the fight is real. The fight is very real to delight ourselves in the Lord. To delight ourselves in the Lord. And yes, it does. It often involves denying ourselves of a lesser pleasure in order to have a greater pleasure. Amen. So yes, obedience is more at stake than happiness when we break it down into those terms of being happy in the things of the world as opposed to happy in the things of God. So here's what I want us to say, and this is a the fight for the right joy is having a greater joy than you've ever known. Don't give up. Don't settle for a lesser joys. Don't settle for lesser pleasures. Make your aim to be full as a Christian, to pursue pleasure in God so intensely that He becomes such an intimate treasure of our heart that He becomes every desire of my heart. Hello? I believe that's what He's calling us to be. So when I ask the question, does God want me to be happy? I believe it with all of my heart that that is a God-given desire for us, just as powerful and as potent as a mom's desire for their children to be happy. God says, I know what is best for you to make you happy. Trust me. Follow me. Walk in my ways, and I guarantee true happiness is there for you. Hello? Amen. Amen. And that's it. I'm even thinking, you know, some of you are here walking with the Lord in this very room because of that mom's desire for you to be happy. So they introduce you to Jesus, right? But here's I want to finish this up because I do believe that, again, the debunking, because I think that as disciples of Christ, Christians, it's really unbiblical for us to deny or even attempt to repress the desire for happiness. Follow me on that. Because really what that is called Buddhism. Think about it. In about like 500 or 600 BC, you know, Prince whoever, I think he, I don't know. I've read the history a couple times on how it started and had everything in life and sought to find out what was the meaning of life and left everything and he became the ultimate Buddha and he found that all is nothing. And so to find true happiness is to become nothing and have nothing and be nothing. And then that's when you'll find that point of absolute nirvana. is, and so it's not biblical for us to go that direction. Hello? I know, I'm serious, because it is one that we're stoic, lowly Christians. We don't want to have any emotion, because emotions, man, those things, woo, they'll mislead you and they'll misdirect you. And, you know, we walk by faith and not by feeling, right? We throw that in there and say, oh, we can't have any emotion. Can't. No, here's the... I'm telling you. Honestly, we all are. We all are, because we all have a desire for happiness and a desire for joy. So we have to, like, repress it and deny it. And that would make anybody miserable. I mean, no wonder you got frowns on your faces. Put a smile on it and say, thank Jesus, I am alive and well. And even if I'm not and I'm hobbling and hurting and barely making it through and everything kind of stinks and my bills aren't paid, thank Jesus, I got Jesus. I guess, I don't know. Is that a bad thing to just have Jesus? But here's the one more gritty part real quick. So it's not to repress our desire for happiness, but we must repent of our desire for the things that are of not God, that we pursue after to make us happy, such as fame, fortune, power, lust, gluttony, laziness, and turn aside to the desires of the Lord by the will of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And here I got like five things real quick. Hebrews 11:6 says this: it's impossible to please God without it's impossible to please God without faith, and whoever desires to draw near to God must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you see that? The writer of Hebrews is telling us very point blank that to seek a reward is actually a God-given virtue. To seek after a reward. Because He says He rewards those who seek Him. So to seek Him, to find Him, you must be seeking the reward after finding Him. Again, deducing. Hello? Right? Am I reading into that, or does it not say that? It says that. Well, Hebrews 11:6. I don't know if you could look it up or find it. So I'm going to go through these five ways that we seek Him. First, in Acts 20:35, it says that He tells us that we can actually attain happiness. We can be happier in giving than in getting. It's a promise. You can be happier in giving than in getting. In other words, He's blessed. More blessed are those who give than receive. So He's telling us that we can find happiness in giving as opposed to seeking what we can get. Hello? That's one way. Philippians 3:8 says that we can be happy in knowing Jesus in the midst of losing everything. And that's something for some of us to hear right here and now today. In the midst of the possibility and the reality of losing everything, I can be happy that I know Jesus. Amen? Third one is John 15:11 says, we can be happy in obeying Jesus' command and His prayer for us to be full of joy. I don't know about you, but yeah, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's an evidence of the Holy Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you think that there's a possibility that in the midst of all those fruits of the Spirit that we list in the Bible, that maybe happiness is in there? Maybe happiness is a part of that. It's an emotion in there. There's happiness and joy. There's happiness and gentleness. There's happiness and peace. There's happiness and self-control. In other words, let the emotion flow through you that God has given you so that people can see that you can be salt and light. Because what does really salt and light mean? Again, He summed it up right after, be salt and light, right after He said, blessed and happy are you when you do this, this, this. Right? So salt and light really, in a sense, is that happiness in God. Where is it? Oh, gosh, John Piper, he says it this way. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That's the truth. And if you don't know, if you haven't read John Piper, he's got a whole entire ministry. It's called just simply Desiring God. And that's what it is. And that's his premise. That's his motto. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So fourth one is this, is 1 Timothy 6:6 says, we can be happily content in living godly. Wow, that's cool. So there's great contentment. There's happiness in living godly. Amen. And then Nehemiah 8:10, which is a fantastic one, says, because this is one we like to quote, is that we gain a supernatural strength in the joy of the Lord. Oh. Let's just bask in that for a second. God, we need his presence. We need his joy. How many of you need some strength of the Lord today? Oh, yeah. Hello. He says it's right here available for us. Take joy in him and he will give you supernatural strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Father, we do just thank you for your love for us, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Again, I'm just going to sum it up in the prayer because it's what you've put in my heart so strongly that I cannot run away from it. I cannot get away from it, that you tell us that it is your goodness and your kindness that draws us to you, that leads us to repentance. So therefore, I'm just asking that in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, that you make us vessels of your goodness and kindness. And put a smile on our face while we're doing it, Jesus. We invite you and ask you to do it. Fill us with the joy of the Lord. Be our strength. Be our courage. Be our wisdom. Be this, that we may be the salt and light right where you called us to be. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.